Blog Talk Radio.
I don't feel safe in this bed. There are voices in my head. I've been talking to the dead, and the fear baptized me. My kingdom turned to dust, and I watched all my riches rust. The fight lost from Midas touch, all these sad eyes blind me. Over and over we go, over the hills and the valleys below. Oh, and it follows me home, and it suffocates me.
Oh, I can't breathe. I said, oh, I can't breathe. All I know.
I forgot how to be me. I don't feel safe in these halls. There are bruises on the walls. There are bodies in the floors. And they breathe so loudly. I wish I could move, get up and walk right out of this tomb. Do our saviors die too soon? For my sins surround me. Over and over we go, over the hills and the valleys below. Suffocates me.
Oh, I can't breathe. I said, oh, I can't breathe. All I know is I forgot how to be me. Hallelujah. Where is my God?
Decision late in the night, frustrated with me for all of my life. I miss you so.
Like tempered steel glowing red in a bed of coals, the poet is born. Our story is riddled with challenges and changes, like blows from a blacksmith's hammer, bent and chiseled into shape. If only forging a poet was that easy. Emotional development, relationships, experiences, environment, and genetics all take a hand in molding the writer we are today. Welcome to Double Helix, where we examine the X's and the Y's on a show that celebrates the human experience, where your true colors are what tie the room together. Get comfortable, because what you're about to hear is the poetry that we are made of. This is Double Helix on Late Night Poets, and we are on Blog Talk Radio. Late Night Poets is a group on allpoetry.com. You don't have to be in the group to participate, but it's more fun if you are. You can read along with us, and you can talk to us in the chat. I'm Afaziana, and with me I have my co-host, Daniel Deschino. Hi, Dan.
Hey there. It's been a minute, Faizy.
It has. It's been a chaotic couple of months, but we're back. I'm very happy to have you back.
Yes, yes. I'm very, very excited to be on it. Absolutely. I missed it. I really did. And it looks like it works. It works. I'm here. I have to stay up. I can't go to bed. It actually worked. So I usually have wine, but I have a mimosa tonight, which I don't really drink, but I have leftover champagne from New Year's Eve. So I made a mimosa. It was probably the first actual drink I've ever made in my life, to be honest, myself. And the disclaimer I'm giving is, we had a lot of rain here. I have some flooding in my basement. So if all for some reason I'm not here, it's because I'm bailing water, but I think I'm going to be okay. So that's my disclaimer for the evening. Usually I have one. Hey, I have a question for you, though, before we get started. What was that song that we opened with? Because I really liked it.
That was How to Be Me by Ren and Chinchilla. And that is the prompt to the contest, so that's why I did that one. I really like it as well.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. And I think we have a special guest star.
We have two. So I know one of them is Robbie of Robbie's Poetry. Hi, Robbie.
Hello.
Hey, Robbie.
Hey, how's
and
it going?
Good. How are you?
Really good.
We also have a mystery caller. Who else do we have on?
This is Wayne Gent.
Hello,
hi, Wayne.
How you
hey,
doing?
Wayne.
It's been a while.
Been a while. Yeah,
it's nice to be here. Yeah, I missed the radio.
They all missed us, Faizy. We're starting strong here.
All right. Well, I'm happy that you're here.
I haven't been on a double helix in particular for a while. I got onto some of the shows once they stopped glitching, but yeah, I was thinking to myself a week ago, it's like, I actually haven't been on a double helix though for a long time.
Neither have I.
We haven't had a double helix in a long time.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, that's
the double helix unwound.
It did. It got canceled quite a few times, but we're back. We're back, so that's great. I am happy to be back. So that opening song that Dan asked about is it's mostly by Ren, and it's featuring Chinchilla. I'm kind of obsessed with Ren. I think I've had like three contests that we used his lyrics, and I'm just really into his writing and into his music and his musings. And he's not super famous. I mean, he's well liked on YouTube, but I don't think he has like a record deal or anything. He's just self-produced. A lot of his like music videos are made in the hospital because he's quite ill. And so he just does his thing wherever he is. And I absolutely adore him. So that song, it speaks to me of anxiety and depression and just mental illness struggles. And the artwork for the that single is the semicolon, which is often used as a suicide awareness, kind of anti-suicide campaign, because with the semicolon, a sentence could end, but you choose to go on. And so for a while, a lot of people were getting that tattoo when they like decided, I'm going to keep trying and fighting that depression. You get a semicolon in maybe sometimes covering scars. And Ren made that the symbol for this song. So I think he was really struggling, and this song was a way of dealing with that. So I found it quite impactful, and I think other people did too, because we got some great poems in response to it. Let's see.
Well,
let's check out these poems. The first one is by Jete. And Wayne, are you in the group so I can put you to work reading?
I'll read a couple of them for you.
All right. So if you want to read the one I just posted by Jete, that'd be great.
I'll give it a shot. It's called by a stage called Mending a Broken Wing. And it goes like this. A past filled with grief from a car accident, a challenging time when just turned 16, not knowing what the future held after it, sending me spiraling down a path of somewhere, having difficulty pinpointing what I was seeing. I got lost in the darkness of my fading mind, entering a depression, then trapped in a web, surrounded by pain, overwhelming with life. After feeling like a bird with a broken wing, I turned around looking for the right direction, searching for light to figure out which way I could break out fighting to overcome strife. Seeing my reflection in a cracked mirror, finally I emerged from from within, having self-worth, having help was sent in time so I could finally fly. Finding myself after nearly dying that fateful night. Sorry about the last sentence, Daniel. Ian?
Thank you for that read, Wayne. This is a powerful piece. I've read a few by Jete, and she's been through a lot. So my prompt. I should really get deeper into my prompt before I get into this. So in addition to the song, I said, there are many ways that we can lose ourselves. Falling into a deep depression, we lose track of what we enjoyed. Falling in with the wrong crowd, we may forget our values. Illnesses, such as when I had my brain tumor, can make us lose parts of ourselves that we valued. And loss of a role, such as maybe losing your job or having an empty nest, can create an identity crisis. So write a poem or song about when you have had to find or recreate yourself after a challenging time. And I can see that Jete followed my prompt very well and considered having to recover from that accident, not just in a physical way, but, getting lost in the darkness of the mind. If I understand correctly from her profile and her writing, Jete is paralyzed because of that accident. And so I imagine probably bedridden for a long time after the accident, would have been having too much time to think in that anxiety and depression. So feeling like you're trapped in a web in many ways. The bird with the broken wing is a good metaphor for it, not being able to fly, but then feeling eventually like she could, and you can find herself again and who she is now. So I really like that she expressed this, and she was vulnerable about it, and went with it, and just showed how she can do it. I liked the line, "Seeing my reflection in a cracked mirror. Finally, I emerged from within, having self worth." That cracked mirror, I think, works really well because during a car accident, you could actually have a literal cracked mirror, and then to have, kind of a broken view of yourself in terms of, like, metaphorically, the way you see yourself is changed. So I thought she did a really wonderful job with this. Dan, what did you think?
I did as well, and yes, I do like Jete's work. I really liked I Got Lost in the Darkness of My Fleeting Mind, Entering a Depression, Then Trapped in a Web. I've almost died a few times in my life, definitely more than I want to think about. And there was one time, I didn't almost die, but I lost, I think I talked about this before a long time ago, I lost I had a bulging disc, and my left leg was literally a dead limb, right? And it took me, I had surgery that was extremely successful, and it took me a year to walk again and to get back. It was a long time, you know, so certainly nothing like Tay's going through, but I briefly understood what it's like to be handicapped. It took me 20 minutes to get out of bed, you know, after the surgery. It was craziness. And getting lost in the darkness of your fleeting mind, you know, I'm a very physical person. I'm moving around all the time. You can ask my wife says I have two modes, on and off, because I'm like running around doing stuff or I'm sleeping, and that's what I do. So, and just being stuck in bed where you can't move, you know, I spent most of my time trying to find things to do. I watched a ton of movies, read books, played video games, like anything to just keep my mind, because if you're just sitting there thinking about this stuff, that can drive you crazy more than anything. And then entering a depression and trapped in a web, you know, you're trapped in this body. That's all I can think of when you're really hurt is you're trapped in your own body. There's nothing you could do. Like, I just can't imagine, you know, what she goes through every day, and she's such a strong person to live that way. But I remember sitting there, and, like, even after the surgery, the minor thing, like I wasn't supposed to bend over. So I would drop something on the floor, and I couldn't pick it up, because I wasn't supposed to bend because it would really hurt it. So I literally didn't bend at the waist for 3 months. And having that, you know, feeling like you're trapped in this body and you can't do something is just a horrible, horrible feeling, you know, after feeling a bird with a broken wing. So, yeah, I thought this was really great. And I think Jitay is a very strong person. And I really enjoy the poetry that she does a lot. Absolutely. And speaking of, with Wayne read this, I want to give a little bit of Wayne trivia. So Wayne was actually the very first person that ever read one of my poems live on one of these talk shows here. And I remember it because it was the first one. I joined All Poetry, and I got the nerve to actually put a poem out, and I listened to the show, and I remember Wayne reading my poem the very first time. So thank you, Wayne, for being the first person to read me on the air. I just thought I'd throw it out there, because every time I see or hear Wayne, that's what I think of. He was the first guy to read one of my poems online. But excellent, Jitay, and I want to give a shout out to Wayne there.
Wayne just said that he's dropping off, but that's a shame. I thought that he was good. If you want to call
like
tomorrow,
that.
Wayne, that's all right. We'll see you tomorrow, but, you know, you didn't have to pre-read. It's okay. I often don't.
Yeah,
like
I thought he did great.
Yeah.
That's why I like Wayne. He's got a place in my heart, because he literally was the first person to read my poetry online. I remember it. So I like it makes me happy when Wayne reads, because it reminds me of that. But yeah, Wayne, call back, definitely. But I guess that would mean Robbie is up for comment.
Yes.
Oh, well, narrowed in on the seeing in my reflection in the cracked mirror as well, because finally I emerged from within having self-worth. I've zeroed in on the couplet as opposed to the first line, because to me that's like, it's that tipping point, and that's always so vital in terms of both the poem here and just the actual journey that she's expressing it. You know, you get to that tipping point where, you know, you've seen what's happened. You've looked in the rearview mirror, so to speak, and you're coming out the other side now. And I found this particularly impactful because I don't know what's happened in our city, but, like, literally every day on the news, they talk about accidents, and it's becoming a thing. Like, our accident rates are through the roof. We're getting known. Our city is getting known for that. And
where are you, Robbie?
I'm in on northwestern Ontario.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just crazy how it's gotten like that. And I just think of all the people that have gotten in accidents and that, how it's affected them. And today I found out that I was closer to one of those accidents than I thought, because one of my buddies was friends with the father of someone whose kid got run over, and my buddy had that kid's, like, a picture of his face on his keychain. And I was like, oh, my gosh, all this time, I didn't know that I was kind of, you know, they call that, like, 6 degrees of separation, right? So it just, in terms of the impact of what this poem is expressing, like what happens to you after an accident, I kind of confront it in what I see happening in the city. And like myself, like I'm more cautious on the bike and crossing the street because everybody's driving like a damn maniac. But also like in terms of just the poem itself, like it says, after feeling like a bird with a broken wing, I turn around looking for the right direction. So I think about that, like this poem has all those flag posts, all those critical points of a journey, like where, you know, you're first looking, okay, what, this is the new direction I'm in now. How do I get back to where I want to be? And you're reorientating yourself. So like, you know, it says searching for light to figure out which way I could break out of fighting. So yeah, this poem encapsulates that well, all those vital posts of this sort of a journey, the event happens, then you're looking for, okay, how do I reorient myself from what's happened? And then you find that direction, and then you're starting to go through that, and then you look behind to where, you know, to where you were.
Yeah, you know, that's great commentary. You know, accidents are so strange. So I live in the Boston area, and every single day, both in the North Shore and the South Shore, in the morning drive and the afternoon drive, there is an accident every single day. And you'd think people would learn, but I watch people drive like maniacs, you know, 90 miles an hour down the road. I watch people tailgate constantly, and there's an accident every single day, North and South Shore, sometimes multiple. It's amazing how many car accidents there are, and I can just imagine the turmoil of it. So, excellent commentary. All right, Fazy, I think that brings us back to you. You are in charge, as there should be when there's multiple men and a woman there. The woman should always be in charge because men are idiots. So what do you want to do? Not all men, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said these, but you know what I mean.
I mean, that's a little sexist, but I'll take it.
Women are – that was a sexist again, but it's against me. I don't know. But anyway, sorry. I've had too many mimosas. Just ignore me. So what are we doing now?
This is called Trauma is a Busy Street, / by Ben Hart. Blue. Birds performing melancholy as courtship to the bruised skies they no longer owned since tide's victory over shore. Shapeless angels murmuring whale song into a gilded weeping, and the wind came from memories on the way home. When in the monochrome winter, the kingfishers stole their colors back from the mountain caps, kissing dusk into an iridescent dream, color dancing across time's lonely. Two, yellow. I wonder if the eyes of the stargazer warm the black pearl moon to shine in darkness, give the wolves something to sing, to weighing her jasmine reflection against the drum of hunger, conducting boy orchestras into music. I remember the birds fled west when we danced on the graves that trauma dug on our behest, cursing saviors that never came in those bodies we were guests, in whose bodies we were guests, screaming clear skies into rain, until choirs of tide called our names for the gale to whisper after dark, when our shadows became vessels to that silver pinewood park, where God was just the gardener, growing remedies for all our scars, but not our broken hearts. With those we must wade out of the dream and into the smolder. I can still picture it, the way you brushed my shoulder to feel if I was still warm after dark. Well, my dear, life is just the shallows of death, and finding myself an outcast in your eyes, that is when I knew the color of mine was yellow, and that I was never coming back. 3. White. You danced like a hummingbird when the stage burned to the ground, and I closed the curtains on your cage so that your bones would not be found. But you slipped through my fingers like love, reprieve, and time. Now it is I who hides in the darkness, the naked man who lies about his trips on rusted trains across your blushing hills, showing his true face only to his killer. Death's nettle lips tasted like almond milk, but your crescent hips spun barbed wire mines into silk. Teach me to move with your skin. I have been buried in my body. Pull me out of it. 4. Black. Every choice is a butterfly swallowing a storm. She was supposed to fall in love with me, but I was going to get clean and not kill myself at 23. There was a time when I thought birds were all bowing to me, but they left with her to kill the dreamer, with me still in it. She likes to talk to me about her worries and her pain, but smiles between bleeding, like I am still a stranger. I only survived by the skin of my teeth, but I think I'll leave this romance of words trapped in a blank cruelty to die on New Year's Eve. 1 year since you walked out on me. Every day was death, but we have reached the end. Careful, kid. Never fall in love with your friends. The saddest people you'll ever meet are dreamers, but they'll never let you see it. Let them be. 5. The last thing I'll breathe. It's been 8 years since you left, and in the time you became dust in the clefts, suicide itself became my friend. Because unlike you, I would feel the razor in my hand. Maybe that's why I smoke so much, because at least it warmed my lungs before leaving me deceased. Can't breathe. I am not real. Wrist bleeding to recycle the nicotine? Don't think of me. It's okay. I was never going to die in my sleep anyway. End poem.
Wow. Amazing read. The, I have to think about the colors. You know, Ben has such a great storytelling without telling a story, you know. He tells a story of emotions. So I have to think, I'm wondering if Fazier, Robbie have ideas on the colors, because the colors are very interesting. The black I can understand talking about kind of the death, but the white was an interesting way to talk about the kind of the sensuality aspect of it. So that was interesting, because it was, but it was a little dark as well too. What was that one line? So many lines, but in a second. Oh, as usual, I think of something I want to talk about, and then Fazier reads the next section, and I want to talk about something else there instead. the saddest people you'll ever meet are dreamers, but they never let you see it. Let them be. That's an amazing line. And it is true the saddest people are dreamers, because most people's dreams don't come true, right? We're all not rock stars. We're all not you know, famous, you know, athletes. We're all not movie stars, right? Most people just have regular jobs. So, you know, to dream means you're possibly setting yourself up for heartbreak, right? But if you dream, you'll also never get there as well, too. You know, I should have been a professional drummer. I think I have the capabilities, and I should have done it, and I didn't do it. You know, and it doesn't bug me, because I'm still happy with just playing, but it does sometimes, you know, makes me wish that. So that can be sad of, you know, I should have had a different life type of thing. So that's really interesting. And let them be is really interesting too. You know, don't over talk about it, right? Don't over bother the person, just let them be. I thought that was really great. And, you know, talking about what you were talking about, you know, the theme of this whole thing is that semicolon, right? I think Ben nailed it with this last section too, the last thing I'll breathe. So, you know, talking about death, but then at the end just saying, I was never going to die in my sleep anyway, you know what I mean? Which to me kind of sums up a lot of times, you know, how people do feel about depression. You know, certainly there's people who obviously commit suicide and or there's issues, but a lot of times afterwards you're like, yeah, you know, I was really sad, but I wasn't really going to do it. That's how I feel, knock on wood, most of the time. I haven't, you know, when I get really depressed, I don't think I've ever gotten that far, luckily, but, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm all right, just leave me alone, you know? Maybe I'm just all talk. So I thought that was really interesting as well, too. But so many great sections on this. It's always been an awesome job. I missed reading and hearing your poem there, That Frisian Kid. So let's go to Robbie. Robbie, let's get your thoughts over here.
Well, I was thinking maybe blue had to do with the sky because it's talking about birds performing, like it says, birds performing melancholy as courtship, and it actually mentions the sky, to the bruised skies. And this is one that, because there's so much imagery packed into each, I was going to say each poem, well, it almost feels like a poem per stanza there, or per section, but there's, with so much imagery packed into each section and put to a color, it kind of makes you want to read it a couple more times to see, okay, is he putting a particular bent on each color? And I'm just going to go down further. When I saw that, when it said the dream, about the dreams that don't come true in that, it made me think a little bit about also, they say, you know, sometimes the universe gives you what you want, but not quite the way you wanted it or the way you expected it. And it's a little bit of, you know, be careful what you wish for in that. Because, like, let's say you become a rock star. Oh, I wanted to become a rock star. And you become a rock star. But then, you know, you become, like, dissociated from all your friends. You know, like, they drop you because they think, oh, well, he's a millionaire now and he thinks he's too good for us. Or, you know, I'm just kind of creating a scenario. It made me think about that a little bit in a sort of tangential way. And there's like a really twisting, winding thing of the person's motivations here. It's like, well, I was never going to die in my sleep anyway. Don't think of me. And well, that just caught me so much. It's grabbed me so much. I can't breathe. I am not real. Wrists bleeding to recycle the nicotine. Oh, that was the one down. Maybe that's why I smoke so much, because at least it warmed my lungs before leaving me diseased. And that's like so impactful, because it speaks on when you're so far gone that you're willing to undertake a habit, an addiction, even though you know it's going to be bad, because at least for a little while, it's going to take you away. Like when I see people that are, you know, ingesting things and all that, but it's not even like it gives you a good high or anything, but they'll do it anyway because at least it gets the brain or the body away from reality. They don't even care if it's not a good high, right? And so that is that particular, especially that stanza, that just grabbed me, because like when you get to that point, that's when, you know, things are serious.
Yeah, that's an amazing comment, and yeah, you're absolutely right. Fiziana, I really felt this when you were reading it. You always get into Ben's poetry, so tell me about it.
I love Ben's poetry so much. I always make it my turn to read when I see it, because I just love the way that it flows. I love being
yes,
the one who reads
yes,
it.
Yes, you do. Don't think I didn't notice that, but yes, you do.
I'm selfish. I steal all of Ben's for myself.
That's okay. I love your reading, so it makes me happy.
Thank you. I really liked the line, "Since tide's victory over shore." You know, just it's it's such a bold way of, like, talking about how, like, you know, the tide comes in. But to have the birds performing melancholy as courtship since tide's victory over shore. I mean, birds have so many different dances and songs that they do as courtship, but to talk about it as melancholy is interesting. And there is a sort of thing where, I mean, there's a playing hard to get kind of thing that within humans where you're kind of expected to not be sad exactly, but to not be as enthusiastic as you may be, and performing melancholy. It's like you got to play it cool. Like, yeah, I don't know. I've never been able to do. I can't fake anything. I'm just gonna move along because I feel like I'm just gonna step in some poop when I'm trying to talk about that because I'm just not. But I liked that whole section, and then in Yellow, he just has such amazing imagery that is all symbolic, and you know, there's layers to everything that he does. I liked where God was just the gardener growing remedies for all of our scars, but not our broken hearts. You know, maybe you can heal physically because of either the divine or nature. It's just that part just kind of seems to naturally happen where your scars improve over time. But broken hearts, not always. We must wade out of the dream and into the smolder. You have to kind of let go of a dream and go through the pain of letting go of it to end up dealing with that broken heart. He just says it so beautifully. In White section, I really liked the stanza, "Death's nettle lips tasted like almond milk, but your crescent hips spun barbed wire mines into silk." I mean, that is just amazing. There's a sensuality to it, with the milk on the lips and the crescent hips. But the spun barbed wire mines into silk is really great to me because it's like you turned a mind that was sharp and just like a rough experience. I'm picturing like so much like maybe hatred and fear and things like the sharp kind of things into silk. It became like a smooth, soft, wonderful experience where it used to be a barbed wire, now it's silk. So this person with their, you know, sexy hips ended up kind of melting the brain. So that whole stanza is really well done. And then in the Black section, I was kind of struck by she was supposed to fall in love with me, but I was going to get clean and not kill myself at 23. So that scared the shit out of me because Ben is 23. He's talked about that before. That part, I'm like, Ben, you better be okay. But I talked to him yesterday, and he wrote this a while ago. So stay alive, please. There's a bluntness in the Black section. It feels like very direct. But smiles between bleeding like I am still a stranger. So the smiles between bleeding makes me feel like that is the fake smile, the like pretending you're okay kind of thing. And to do that is like he's a stranger, because if they were as close as he thought, she would tell him the truth, not have that fake smile. Yeah, this, it's just so incredible. And then the ending part, the I can't breathe is something that's repeated a lot in the song, which is the prompt. And then I'm not real, which that kind of disassociatedness of it, again, fits really well with the prompt of the song. And I've lost where it is, but, well, yeah, when it's talking about the razor as being something cold that you can feel in your hand, and then at least the cigarettes, the smoke warms the lungs, which is something that Robbie was pointing out. For me, that was also maybe like the razor, the coldness of it, could be choosing to be alone because you don't want to get hurt. So you end up being hurt in the cold, whereas the smoking, where it is still killing you, but you get that warmth temporarily. I feel like the girl in this is that he knows he's going to have his heart broken. He knows she's going to hurt him, but it's worth that time of warmth. So to be with her is like smoking. It's, you know, it's not as cold as the razor. It's just as deadly, but it's instead of hurting himself, he's letting her hurt him. I could just be making stuff up, but that's how it went in my mind.
That's all we do. We make stuff up anyway. So no, I think that was great. There's so much insight. You said this before about Ben. Like, we could have a class on one of his poems, you know, and we did. We had a whole whole contest based on his poetry, and it was fun. So excellent comment. All right, now Ben, we love you. We're glad you're in this earth. You're one of the good ones. But we do have to move on to the next poem, I think.
Yes, we do. So this next one is by Tempest Five. And Robbie, I don't think you've read. Or wait, you did. No, did you? I've lost.
I don't think Robbie read yet.
Oh. All right. Robbie, will you please read this next one?
Okay. So this is Same Day. Sins had accumulated 36 years. Freedom needed for both victim and perpetrator. Awareness, knowledge, personal insight, and is seeking, even though God forgiven, for repentance. Same day's life changes, forfeited spouse, surrendered home, alcoholism halted, personal violence ended, quit smoking, stop profaning. Reinventing not possible without retro and introspection. In some instances, accountability needed also to motivate change. Higher power, of course, requested and guided. Still many years for an advent of compassion and empathy to fully bless a maturing, hosted human vessel. Would I recommend that all experience? Some, not all, the transition and patrons. Salute. And that is Same Day.
Great read. Thank you, Robbie. This has, like, definitely a serious tone to it. I feel like there's, with the really short lines, it just wants you to think about each little section, and it kind of hammers you with it. I like the vocabulary. You know, it doesn't say, like, you know, broke up. It's just forfeited spouse. It's not you quit drinking. It's alcoholism halted. Instead of like saying you stopped swearing, stopped profaning. There's just really a beautiful formality to it about gritty things. Where is it now? Even say, hosted human vessel, to see your body as you know, the vessel of the spirit who needs to do better than it has been. I thought this was really a powerful presentation of changing, it seems like, lots of different parts, giving up the violence and the smoking and the swearing and the drinking and the probably unhealthy relationship. There's quite a bit that is left behind in this poem to restart. Dan, what did you think?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it is tough. You know, this one I think is talking more about, I don't know which type of religion, but, you know, mainstream, you know, Muslim, Catholic, something like that is where he's going towards. And there were a lot of people, right? You see stories all the time of whoever you want to say, you know, people who were bad, alcoholics, porn stars, whoever, you know, that changed their life and kind of find these things. But, you know, I consider myself a student of all philosophies. I'm still trying to figure out life. I'm still trying to figure out who I am, you know, all those things. And Buddhist philosophy says that when you go down that path, you know, once you go down the wrong path, you it's like almost impossible. It's really hard to stop it. And he says that at the end, kind of what I recommend all experience, not at all, transition of patrons, salute. It can be hard, and it's in the mind, you know, and it's tough to do. I think he also covers, you know, I like it. You said the short lines: alcoholism halted, personal violence ended, quit smoking, stop profaning. A lot of times that's the answer. You know, I've quoted this before. I think there's an older show called The Closer and an obscure line from it, but it always hit me. So this is a cop show, and one cop has this alcoholic there, and, you know, trying to question her, and he said, you know that he quit drinking. He says, oh, well, you figured out how to do it. Good for you. The person in trouble for alcohol said, and the guy said, I didn't figure anything out. I just stopped drinking, you know. And it's a very, very, very hard thing to do, but kind of what you have to do. You know, you just have to stop doing it. And I think that covers that in those short little lines. I thought was pretty cool. Reinventing not possible without retro and introspection. That's true. You know, you have to, in some instances, accountability also needed. Like you have to be the one, the first to say, to look at yourself, you know, and that can be the hardest thing, right? You don't want to admit that you're an alcoholic or you're whatever you are. You don't want to admit that, but you have to do that and you have to take accountability. So this is a very interesting, you know, and I don't think it's overly preachy at all. I think it mentions, you know, religion, but it's just this kind of interesting introspective, look at trying to better yourself and trying to figure out, you know, what are you doing? Where do you want to really be? And can you make the changes that you know, you may think you need to do? It's not for everybody. It's a hard thing to do. So interesting. Yeah, I really like the style. Tempest 5. Excellent job, Robbie. You got to read it. What'd you think?
Well, I was looking at the top graphic, the top picture afterwards, to see how it integrated or like spoke upon the poem like how it was with the poem. And it says, like for people that are just listening and they can't see it, it says every student can learn, just not on the same day or in the same way. George Evans. And I thought that did kind of inform the poem to a degree, because it talking even in the first stanza, freedom needed for both victim and perpetrator. So that makes me think about the crime and how people debate. Again, in this particular instance, it's saying that both the victim and the perpetrator need, like, it's like the victim needs freedom from the scars, you know, of the event that was, you know, perpetrated by the perpetrator, and the perpetrator needs the freedom, like, from rehabilitation and, like, to be rehabilitated and released back into society. And that first stanza made me think a bit about the debate of, you know, rehabilitation versus punishment in the jail system. And there's a lot of sort of that pulling back and forth with ideas in all of the stanzas here. And I'm just looking at, like you were saying, like same days, life changes. And it's just like, it just puts it to such a simple degree of, you know, forfeited spouse, surrendered home, alcoholism halted. And it's where you're not like, I was actually talking about that just today and recently too, like where you don't overthink something. Or like you really get caught up when you start overthinking things and intellectualizing too much. And it's just like, okay, I got to do it. You know, they talk about how people like, it's good to make like a list of say steps or a list of something, but people will get caught up in just making lists of lists. Right. You know, they won't go past like the list making step. And as you go on, you know, there's the whole thing about reinventing oneself and how, you know, that's not possible without introspection. And so, yeah, there's like this whole journey here of what it means internally to be a student of life and how that manifests in all these different ways. Like when you have a victim and a perpetrator, when you're trying to overcome vices and everything else. And, you know, and of course, he integrates a higher power into this. And I thought it was interesting that at the end he said salute. And I was kind of thinking about that. And I'm guessing that he's saying salute like, you know, I'm on my journey. I'm a human being. I'm on my journey just like everybody else is. You're on a journey too. I wish you luck. Salute. That's kind of how I look at it. But only on a cursory glance. I don't know if that's like, a lot of times I look at something on a cursory glance and like, oh, that's it. I think that's what it is. And then I look at it afterwards and it's like, oh, okay. I've got a really different tack on that now, but that's my initial impression.
No, I think you're right. I was interested in the word salute as well, too. And I got that as well. It's kind of like, you know, saluting you, go for it. You know, you were praising you trying to do something. So I think you hit it. All right, by process of elimination, I'm guessing it is my turn to read, but I'm very bad at math, so I might not be able to count to three. I don't know.
You are correct. It is your turn.
All right, let's do it. This is by Sierra Mariano called Forgot How to Be Who I Was Before. But the person before forgot how to be me even more. Trying to find the beginning again while sidestepping and avoiding to begin the end. A jumbled up mess just like the rest. While the jumbled up me tried being humbled at best. Remembering me would be easy to do if the person I remembered future me too. End poem.
That was great. I love the way you said the title, Dan. You could, like, hear the question marks in it. this picture book called Moo, and the whole book, the only word is Moo, but they say it in so many different expressions. I was like, the cow steals a car, and then he gets interviewed by the police. It's like cute little cartoon cow and police. And he's like, but like just as you read it, you can't help but like hear the tones of like the different ways that he says moo. And when you went I don't know, it was perfect. You made just the right tone for it.
Is that like Groot?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
I heard that we're all Groot, yeah. I heard Vin Diesel literally said the word Groot like 1,000 times different ways, and then they kind of picked the ones. I am Groot. I am Groot. He said that like 1,000 different ways, and they had to pick the different ones. But anyway, sorry, off on a tangent.
Oh, it was me who started the tangent, so don't apologize. I really liked how this kind of twisted it. So it's not only did the current her forget who she was before, but maybe that the past her wasn't thinking enough about the future her, wasn't preparing, wasn't working towards a future, hadn't considered the way that she could grow. I really like that twist on it. Yes, she forgot how to be who she was before, but maybe being who she was before is not the answer. If the person I remembered future me too, it would be easier to connect to your past if your past was preparing for the future, if your past was someone who you wanted to be. That is a really cool twist on things. It's trying to find the beginning again while sidestepping and avoiding to begin the end. Sometimes to find your original self, you look at all the potholes that you fell into, and you're thinking like maybe I don't want to be that self. Maybe I want to be something new. Maybe I want to forge a better version of me. So this was a really cool twist. I really enjoyed it. Robbie, what were your thoughts?
I was glad that I was muted while you were doing all those moves. It caught me off guard and made me laugh. But in the initial impression of things, I was thinking of all that. Like, what are all the ways you could say? I was thinking the same thing, like, you know, all the ways you could say, And on a tangent, this is aging myself a little bit, but I thought of Arsenio Hall. I don't know if you guys remember that, but he always had that thing, you know, things that make you go, and like stroke his chin. But this made me think of sort of the universality of how we all wonder about our lives. And I really paid a lot of attention, especially to the last stanza with about, you know, if the person remembered the future me, you know, remembered future me too and all that. And it just made me think of how so often, you know, we have this tug of war between our past and future selves. And a lot of times, you know, we have this kind of idea, like if our past self could travel to our future self or vice versa, like, you know, a lot of times they'd be traveling and we'd be giving ourselves a smack upside the head, right? You know, like your past self traveling to meet your future self and saying, don't go out with her. You know, you see it. You know she's wrong. You know, you get the literal smack upside the head by your future self. And you're like, okay. I see future self. I see it now. And I kind of just got the universality just because of, like how it said, a jumbled up mess just like the rest. And so, yeah, like that especially made me think about how we're all just trying to figure things out all the time and trying to figure out especially like what the best path is to go in life. And I like that it mentions being humbled at best because, you know, we have all those moments where we're being humbled. And I guess it's saying humbled at best because, like, if you're just humbled and a tragic mistake hasn't occurred, you know, like you haven't done something absolutely stupid, then that's actually kind of like the best outcome. Like you feel like a bit of an ass, but you just feel humbled. You know, you haven't like, you know, wasted 20 years in a toxic relationship or something like that. So yeah, that's what I got out of the poem.
It's amazing these brevities that, you know, when brevities are done well, really well, they have all these great you know, conversations that come of it, like both of you guys talked about. And I really like this one a lot. I Need to read more of Sierra. Philosophically, I think you guys nailed it, and it's really interesting. I've thought about that so many times. What makes us up, right? We're constantly changing creatures, both our physical bodies and our minds, because everything we absorb all the time. You know, I mean, in a lot of ways, I think I'm the same kid I was when I was 12, and a lot of ways, you know, in 18, in a lot of ways, I think I've changed a lot, because your mind is constantly absorbing, and you think back to who was that person before. You know, is that, which one's me? Do I remember who I was, but was that me? And now that it isn't, right? It even gets into, you know, you can even start thinking about that. Like you were saying, Robbie, before about, punishment versus rehabilitation, right? So if you do have a real rehabilitated criminal, somebody who was really bad and they found a way to, they realized their mistakes. So is that criminal, you know, are they a different person now? I mean, they're still the person who committed those crimes, but are they a changed person? Are they somebody different, right? Remembering me would be easy to do if that person I remembered future me too. That's such a deep line, to try to remember yourself and still be kind of the same person you are throughout your life, but you know you're going to change. Technically, I love this poem. It's so much fun to read. I read it again while I was listening to you guys, because it's put together so well, and that's hard to do. You know, I write a lot of just open free verse, just because I usually walk when I write, so it's just kind of easier for the lines to come out. But I certainly write rhyme, and I love this type of rhyme here where it just flows so well. It just feels good. It's not the standard, you know, A B A B A B. It's just a beautifully done. But, like, I love this poem. I think this is absolutely amazing. Just the technicality of it, the flow of it, and the meaning behind it. So it's a really great job, Sierra. I honestly love this one. It was inspiring to me.
They could really write a poem that's a little different, like, just like dot, 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 but without the question mark.
Absolutely.
A whole other thing. Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah, right. Like, just like Fazy said, just do a bunch of do a whole series and make the whole book on and see if you can have different meanings to it. That would be there you go, Sierra. There's your challenge. Write more of those if you're listening in. Yeah, excellent. But speaking of inspiration, Faziana, take me places.
All right, my magic carpet ride will take you to an audio by our next poet, and that is Agrisman. Robbie sang the March Simpson. When I had bronchitis in November, I had such a good Marge Simpson voice. But then it became Patty and Selma, and I liked it even less. But people are really tired of my voice, so we're going to hear Agrisman instead with his poem, Goodbye Girl. And here it is.
Goodbye Girl by Agrisman. I walk into the daily fire, knowing I'm the biggest liar on my own sad condition of life's harmful omission. I don't have one, and it shows to everyone that knows. I'm a walking bag of bones where love kisses unknowns, a freak without a circus, a lie without a pulse that screams, hey, look it up. I want the truth again, just to have an honest win, but I'll settle for the tie without asking the why. You left me inside out, voiceless without a shout. The pain you blame on one name. It's me I hear. That's melancholy clear. It's now time to discuss. Hey, look at us. Can you imagine where I'll be while losing a big part of me? Now it's just me and I. I'll figure it out and I'll try to be the best me I can be. Whether it's truth that sets me free, I'm the hero of the story, and I promise not to worry about you till I'm alone, writing my daily poem about life and being free. Hey, it's me.
Thank you. thank you for the audio. I love when I get to hear poems in the poet's own voice. As much as I like to read the poems, it's wonderful to hear it as it was intended to be read by the person who wrote it. So we do accept audios in the form of SoundCloud or YouTube or MP3s, and I encourage everybody who shares their poems in my contest to make an audio, to try it out. Side note, I have an audio contest right now where you have to do an audio, so check that out. It's good practice for you. Now this, I thought he had a wonderful reading voice, and I like of life's harmful omission. The choice of harmful omission there. I liked the way that was. And I'm a walking bag of bones where love kisses unknowns. I really like that. There's steady rhymes throughout this. I thought it had a nice cadence to it. It felt so real to me. Like, at the end, he's talking about writing his daily poem, which, you know, makes sense as this is a poem, and it's on a poetry website. He probably does write that daily poem. And it feels very authentic. The whole thing feels very real to me, and I enjoy that. What about you, Robbie?
I felt the authenticity too, and I was in my own mind. I used the word no bullshit, which is basically the same thing, but even more authentic way to say it, I guess. It's like he's to himself about himself, but he's not. He's just cutting right to the quick, cutting right to the chase. About, you know, it there's no dilly-dally in it, and it's just absolute honesty with himself. And what do they call that? Radical self-actualization or something like that. I'm trying to think of, there is like an exact term for that, but I just can't remember it right now. Something like that. Life's harmful omission, I caught that too. It's that idea of, you know, when you lie to yourself when you're like lying to yourself by an omission or you're just ignoring something in life, you know, you're just willfully doing the la, 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 la sort of thing. And with the walking bag of bones, that has to do sort of in my mind with the whole absolutely raw and real thing, you know, where you're looking at your own mortality without any other lenses, you know, without rose-colored glasses and all that. And I was just thinking about, and I think I'd have to ponder it a bit more. I'm a walking bag of bones where love kisses unknowns. That really has me thinking. Because I'm thinking, what does he mean by that? Like, where love kisses unknowns. I'm thinking of like him thinking of maybe a universal aspect of something, and because he mentions unknowns, it's kind of like where life has so many unknown elements, and maybe it's like where you're blessed in like the unknown elements of life. Like you don't expect to come from there. And this stanza in general is what caught me the most, because there's such unique images and they're making my mind turn over and over and over again, which is always, well, you know, a good poem does that. A freak without a circus, a lie without a pulse that screams. Like, I'm guessing that the freak without a circus is that feeling that, you know, you're abnormal, you're not like everybody else, but you can't find the other people that are abnormal like you. Because sometimes in life you do find that, like, you know, like, yeah, I know I'm weird, but you know that you're weird and we're weird in the same kind of way, so let's be weird together. But he's like, but he's not in that situation. He's a freak without a circuit. So there's the, yeah, there's obviously so much more going on in the rest of the poem, but that, that whole part is what really got my mind turning the most, and it was the majority of what the poem, yeah, that's, that part was what engaged me the most out of the poem.
Excellent, excellent job. And I thought this was interesting. I'm hitting the follow Agrisman right now on you because I really like this. It is, it's a story, right, of kind of somebody leaving someone else, but it's just written with such great poetry that you don't really feel, you feel the story, but you don't, which I always think is a great way to write. And he talks a lot about us. So remember, there is no I in team, but there is a me, and there is no I in us, but there is a you. So I don't know, just make what you will of that. I just thought I'd throw that out there. But I like the... The contemplative part of this is really great because he's kind of talking about the end. Can you imagine where I'll be while losing a big part of me now? It's just me and I. I'll try to figure it out, and I'll try to be the best me I can. You know, if you're in a relationship for a long time with somebody, it can be tough. Even if you're the one leaving, whatever it is, if that's gone, because you know when you have a close relationship with somebody, it's a big part of you. You're with that person, and now when you're gone, you gotta rethink yourself, you know, and can I be by myself? It depends how long you're there, or I have to kind of start over again. The guy I work with who was engaged, and I don't know the specifics of it, but he broke up with his fiance and he wasn't happy, and now he's trying to get out there again, and it's, you know, it can be tough, right? It can be liberating too, right, if it ended up being a bad one, but it makes you recontemplate your life, which I thought was really, really interesting. You know, and I like to play with parts of poetry. I've done it before. So the first line is, I walk into the daily fire. And the last line is about life and being free. So almost like you have to, and then that's what the story is in between, right? So he's almost saying, you got to go into that fire, right? You got to do that to get free from it. You have to walk through it to get to the other side. And I think that's what he's doing here, and without the poem is doing that. So that's what I got to say, Agrisman. Excellent, excellent job. And goodbye, girl. Goodbye, poem. And hello to new poem. So where would you like to take us now there, boss?
I'm going to do mine just for fun. So this was not to my own contest. It was to another contest. The contest that I wrote for was by CRL17, and it was, write a poem about a mountain you have climbed in your life, something that you overcame. So since my contest was kind of about like finding yourself after you've been through something, this is my something. Healing is a Hill by Faziana. Did I post it? Yes, I did. Okay, sorry. Healing is a Hill. When they open my skull, in a fog rolled, dense darkness clouding my thoughts, solid bone reduced to dust's stranglehold, rivers of intellect dammed by clots, mind lost the marionette strings that once manipulated muscles, abandoning limbs in invisible slings, automatic motions morphed into puzzles. Neurologists had a shocking definition of fine, with breathing and standing a cheerful baseline, desire to reclaim the life once mine, rejecting the acceptance of a steady decline. Second opinions were sought, battles versus insurance fought, naturopaths consulted with skepticism, joining disability activism, craniosacral stitched body, mind, and soul, quilting the torn layers, returning me whole, lymphatic massage, reset blown fuses, physiotherapist, no patience for excuses, occupational therapy, illuminated adaptation, establishing functional capacity, breaking cycles of failure fixation, innovative techniques, teaching tenacity, new friends who didn't know previous version, resetting expectations with comparison aversion, revolving mindset on being broken, an entire new creature awoken. A plateau was reached, in the brain fog haze. It was time for a steep climb, finding a path to purpose in the maze. Discovered, I spoke clearer in rhyme. Poetry and podcasts gave language exercise, overcoming aphasia away from real life eyes. Words reclaimed with confidence blooming. The worst is no longer what I'm assuming. End poem.
Beautiful, Faziana, beautiful. And this, I'm assuming that this is all true, meaning the empire. I mean, obviously I know this happened to you, but poetry and podcasts give language exercise to overcome. I think that's amazing. I'm going to ask you two questions since you're here. First of all, I'm interested in that you actually, that doing poetry and doing these things helped your brain to kind of get back to where it was. I think that's amazing. And the second thing that I was thinking of when you were doing this was, you know, this is obviously a very traumatic part of your life. And you've written multiple poems about it. Does writing the poems about it, is that therapeutic for you? Does that help you to kind of, you know, move on a little bit, or how, what does that do for you? So I got, those are two questions for you, if you don't mind.
Okay, the second question, because I already forgot the first question. So
okay.
One thing at a time with the brain damage lady. So the second question, is it therapeutic? Yes, I do find it therapeutic to write about it, it helps me like reframe things and feel in control of it if I can write about it. Really, this one poem kind of sums up a larger journey where my whole book, Beautifully Broken Brain, is like each one of these stanzas is several poems within that, because each section of this, you know, was a big experience. And then now, looking back on it from a larger distance, I kind of see it all as like, you know, part of my landscape of my life and who I am. And it's not such a crazy hill right in front of me anymore. It's kind of like, oh, look at the winding roads that I have taken. But it's not like a cliff edge the way that it once was. And being able to look at it and see that it's from that different perspective now is actually pretty calming. So I do find it therapeutic. And what was your first question?
Yeah. So I, the therapeutic, I understand. You asked me once, I was writing a lot of dark poetry, and you literally asked me if I was okay. And the answer is exactly what you just said. Yes, I am. I'm trying to figure things out, and writing poetry can help you kind of think about things and get it out. The first question was the end of your poem where you're talking about that physically, it actually helped you to write poetry and do these podcasts to get your brain kind of back in track and everything. That's very interesting to me.
Yes. So it helped rewire it to be able to deal with language. Because, like, my name, Aphasiana, comes from aphasia, which is the condition where you have trouble with language. So my thoughts, like the ideas, are fine in my head, but getting them out can be quite challenging. And then understanding words can be tricky, which I'm such a word nerd that was really a challenge to, and just absolutely frustrating and depressing to not be able to understand things right away. And it's one of those things where like someone's talking and I'm like, what? And then they start to repeat themselves like I didn't hear. And the thing is that I eventually understand what they say. It's not that I didn't physically hear them. It's just like my brain has this lag, and it's like a while later, it's like, oh, they meant this. It takes time. And I found that writing in poetry came more naturally to me than trying to speak, partly because you have time to think about what you're doing. You don't have to say it quickly like you would in a conversation, but also because I was missing words. And the beauty of poetry is you can be kind of creative with the language. So you don't have to talk necessarily in complete sentences, and you can kind of just like spit out your feelings and not necessarily be as logical. Whereas previously I was a pretty logical, structured person. I mean, it's always kind of whimsical, but I definitely had a different approach to writing, and as more academic, like essay kind of thing. And then with my brain damage, if I could just like say words in strange order and help remember sounds through rhymes, then that would be helpful. And I mean, like, I know as an early childhood educator that rhyming is a good way for the brain to develop, for children, to get their language skills, having rhyming and repetition. So poetry gave me rhyming and repetition, and I could learn again how to do certain things. And then the podcasts were more about confidence, I think, because I was really self-conscious that I was stuttery and I was slurry, and I kept saying the wrong word. It was almost like having Tourette's, where I just kind of like said random words. I kept saying like apple, apple, apple for like no reason. I just blurting out apple, which I guess is better than like cursing randomly. But I get stuck on a word, and then I would just say it a whole bunch of times. Like if I was trying to read the line, words reclaimed, confidence blooming, and I would get something wrong where I would say like booming instead of blooming, and I'd be like confidence booming, confidence booming, confidence booming, and then I just get stuck in it instead of saying blooming. So Rima, who I met on this website, convinced me to call his show, and I called a few times, and eventually his co-host was absent, and so he got me to fill in, and I ended up staying, and then when he retired, I took over, and so here I am being the host now of a thing that I called because I wanted to practice talking before I went back to work, because I was on medical leave when I first called, and I was afraid of talking in front of people when I went back to work, so I wanted to practice. So this show, this station, I practice talking in front of people again. So this, it means a lot to me.
Wow. I got that whole, that was absolutely fascinating, because I like you and I'm interested in you, and that's amazing. What a great, you know, what a great tribute to the show and to yourself too, I think, for having the strength to be able to do all that. I certainly didn't have the same overcoming when I first called it. I was just nervous of, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I'm not a poet, because I just started writing poetry literally when I joined this website. I had never really done it before, so I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. But it was fascinating. And if Faizyan, I'll say, you actually were the inspiration to me. The Sinner and Saint show, you and Babbler, I loved it. It was like a talk show, and I listened to it, and that was the whole reason why. I've told you that before. You were my inspiration to try to call in, because I just really enjoyed it. But I thought this was beautiful and just really well written. It's a nice little story with the rhyme, and the rhyme is perfectly done. And that's, you know, that's hard to do, but it really, it tells your tale. You know, you can read your tale with this, but it's done in just such a beautiful poetic way and nice rhyming, which is great. And I really appreciate the insight. Excellent. Robbie, go for it, man.
This made me think of a few things, because of how, well, you were mentioning rewiring and how it was like, it was part of the therapy for that. And I remember myself actually how I knew one poet who had a stroke, and he had to practice speech because it got screwed up, and he was hesitant, but I encouraged him, I didn't like bully him, of course, but I encouraged him very strongly. Because I knew I'm someone who just picks up a lot of facts and factoids and general information a lot. And I knew that when you have a stroke, one of the best things actually to do is to, you know, start speaking in that. because your brain literally needs to rewire itself. It needs to make the connections all over again. And the more you do it, like the more you actually talk, you know, it'll come out rough at first because, well, it's just the nature of the thing, right? You're going to, the wiring isn't there anymore, but you can, people forget that the wiring can be remade. So I had encouraged him to do that. And that was like the first thing. It went up like a flare in my mind when you mentioned about that part. And,
well, you're absolutely right. And actually, part of the rewiring, it was so funny. As I talked, I was supposed to move. So, like, I wave my left hand while I talk to you, and then I wave my right hand while I talk to you. And you're on the phone, so you can't tell. But if I move different parts of my body as I'm talking, it helps with the rewiring. It gets, I don't know, you learn how to, like, kind of multitask your body in, like, very simple ways. But part of my therapy was I was supposed to talk out loud and move, because if your left side is moving and your right side is moving, then it makes your brain communicate differently. So you have to practice talking, but you also have to move while you do it.
Well, I was thinking that was part of why you did that here, because then it's easier for you to do, because if you mess up, it's a little less intimidating because people don't see you. And like you're not facing the person when you're stuttering, so I imagine that makes it a little easier. And then, you know, when you're mentioning like you have to move your left arm and your right arm, that, well, like if you do it over the air, then again, you know, you're not as self-conscious about it. And I also thought in the poem about how there's that tension and struggle between, okay, like how much do I go down the path of naturopathy? How much do I do the conventional thing, because sometimes the conventional thing doesn't have the greatest options or alternatives. But at the same time, you know, there are benefits in naturopathy in that, but you don't want to have someone who really actually doesn't know what they're doing saying, yeah, this herbal help or, you know, this or that. Like I remember one guy, I was supremely annoyed, like probably angry really even. He said, yeah, I was telling him about my epilepsy, and he just said, yeah, if that was me, I would just quit my meds cold turkey tomorrow, and I just switch right to the pot right away. I thought to myself, are you effing crazy? I would have a massive seizure if I did that. And to me, it was like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. My meds work fine. My liver is still fine, and, you know, it's my liver is held up. I get that tested because it can be tough on your liver, you know, to take meds. And so I'm like, I was of the mind of, you know what? If it's working, I'm not going to monkey around with it. And, there's a lot with, I really locked in on the part was shocking definition of fine with breathing and standing a cheerful baseline. And what is that? What was that one part where they talk about, like, drilling into your skull and then, to me, I got the impression, like you were saying, like that they're saying, well, we just don't worry. We're just going to drill into your skull. It's no biggie. And you're standing there like, yeah, it kind of is, you know. And last of all, poetry and podcast gave language exercise. So, yeah, we spoke on that already. And I really liked word reclaimed with confidence looming. The worst is no longer what I'm assuming. So, like, you're not assuming any of the worst anymore, is what I'm guessing. That could be a reference to. And it's just, it's beautiful, really, when you, I hear somebody expressing that, I'm struggling with the word. Because I want the right gravity in that to be there, because I'm trying to say something that I really feel strongly about. I just like seeing someone succeed in their journey. And it kind of actually is moving me right now. It really is moving me. You can probably hear it in my voice. But, yeah, I like to see somebody succeed in what they've been doing, especially when they may not have had all the help that they wanted to, or they've had to make so many decisions on their own behalf about, okay, am I going down this path or that path? Do I go down naturopathy you're going down this path and that. So, yeah, it just gives me the warm fuzzies. Has gotten to a place where they want to be.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I didn't
great,
think I'd be
crazy,
using
yeah.
the word warm fuzzies today, but they're very I think it's okay in this context.
All right.
We need some warm fuzzies. It's pretty cold out.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
I need some help. I don't know what's going on. I walked away, and I'm glad I didn't miss anything. So we have water in my basement. I'm getting way off topic, but just quickly. My sub pump keeps moving, and I don't understand why. I have a little buoy on it, so like it's like a hole in the basement, and the sub pump goes up. You know, the buoy goes up. When it goes up, it turns on. It goes down. It shuts off. It keeps getting stuck, and I don't know why. And I can't be up like all night moving this thing. I can't figure it out. So I walked away, but I'm glad I missed something. So everybody, we'll send each other good thoughts. I don't need physical ones today. I need sub pump good thoughts. We'll stop doing this. Get to sleep. Sorry, but I don't know if you guys are asking for me or asking me a question when I left, but I missed a bunch.
It was just us rambling about my stuff, so it's all good.
Okay. Hey, this one looks like this one a gold, well deserved as well too. Congratulations, Faizy, on that. Excellent job. All right, so we have 30 minutes left. What do you want to do for the sitcom time here? 30 minutes.
We have one more from that contest, and then we're going to go on to a contest that was originally for Part Sinner, Part Saint, but it has been carried over, and we're going to do it on this one because it's just fun, and I want to. I can. I think it's your turn to read, Robbie, if you'll read, please, the one by Teresa Streshkoff.
Okay, this is Goodbye, Girl. I walk into the daily fire, knowing I'm the biggest liar, on my own sad condition of
hold
life's
on, hold
haunted.
On.
Oh, sorry.
Hold on.
That was the same. That was the same one, right? Let me refresh.
For me too.
As soon as I saw the fire, that I was like, oh, the emission thing. Oh, that's yeah. I thought I refreshed, but it didn't. I think every once in a while the links are dragging just a little bit. But anyways. For me, to me, the day they came and got you, the day they took you away, was one of the worst days of my life. It rocked me to the core. I could not breathe. I couldn't speak. It was shaking at the knees. My mind began to spin. My world got turned upside down. Poetry had always been my release, but not at this time at all. My mind was blank. I could not write. I couldn't even think. I slowly began to get used to the fact that he was gone, just for now. It took me a good 3 months to find a new way how. I started off small, doing short poems at first. Then the words began to flow. I was slowly coming back to me. And that is From Me to Me.
Great read. This is powerful, Teresa. It has that real kind of shock factor of getting hit with something that really does rock you to your core. Because when something is truly upsetting, it could be finding out that someone has died. It can be just any kind of bad news. The not being able to breathe, the not being able to speak, the shaking at the knees. It's funny how knees get affected by emotion, and they truly do. You get that like weak feeling behind them, and then the mind being completely blank. And for someone who is a creative mind and a writer, like Teresa clearly is, to have that moment where it's like your internal dialogue has just stopped, that is a scary time. I've been there, and to not even have being able to form the thoughts, never mind the words out loud, is very startling. So I feel like she really brings this to life, that moment of of something like awful, I think she captured that impact very well. What about you, Dan?
I think she did too. This is absolutely very, very powerful. It's, you know, the day they came and got you, they took you away. One of the worst days of my life, rocked me to the core. And it's, I could not breathe because I don't want to read the whole thing again, but it's so, it is very, very powerful. We're shaking into the knees. Yeah, there is something about your leg. You know, your legs are so strong. And you think, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, I take walks all the time. I said this on the show before, and I can just keep walking, you know, and you can't do that with your arms. You know, you try to lift something up and down multiple times, you get tired, but you can just walk for hours, right? People run 25 miles. You know, your legs are so powerful, and when your mind can actually make them weak just from something bad happening. I really liked how, because it is hard to concentrate if your mind is really there and you can't. It happens to, you know, to all of us, I think. If you're upset about something, you can't relax. It's hard to write. It's hard. You need your mind to be clear a little to be able to do that. So I like how she talks at the end about trying to get back into poetry, the words starting to flow. And I think it's really like her mind herself is coming back. She's coming back from this horrible thing that happened, where she can start kind of being herself and getting her life back together again. So it's very biographical for everybody, I think, and relatable to people who have had a horrible thing, either a death or whatever it is, and how you have to try to kind of get your life back together afterwards. So beautiful, Teresa, beautiful. And I'm losing it. We didn't hear from Robbie, right? Robbie, go for it.
Yeah. Well, From Me to Me was just such an apt sort of a title for this poem, because it's very much the sort of journey where you're meeting yourself after everything that has just happened. And the part that that caught me so hard was about with the whole, my mind was blank. I could not write, but I couldn't even think, because I'm going through that these days. Like, it's not like I can't think, but my mind is rebelling because I'm like fighting it now, and I'm taking active steps. But like, there is the isolation of COVID, and so you're just left. We were left with our own thoughts so much. And at work, I have so many solo shifts, and a lot of it, I don't see too many people in my own department or customers, because customers are still thin in my department because they're just focusing on essentials, right? Groceries and that. And I've had way too much time of inner monologue, and I would actively shut down my inner monologue. Just so tired of my own voice. And I said, you know what? This is not good. I shouldn't be doing this to myself. And now I'm taking active steps to get away from that and, like, preoccupy myself more. I'm meeting with a friend and that. But anyways, enough on myself. But it hit me so hard because I'm having that struggle right now where my mind just doesn't want to think because it's the only voice that it has. It just makes me in general think of the mind-body connection that we have when we come under stressful situations, like, of course, with the shaking at the knees. And it's such an autonomic thing. You know, it's like you're, you know, like they say that, you know, breathing is autonomic. It's just an automatic thing that you do. And it just happens, you know, like you don't even control. Like, you realize it's like when people grit their teeth because they're nervous or anxious about something or maybe angry. And, you know, before you realize it, you're gritting your teeth, and you might need a mouth guard at night because you keep gritting your teeth at night. But there's, you know, towards the end of the poem, the journey back, getting used to the fact that he was gone just for now. But I like also where it says, to find a new way how. So it's kind of that idea of being, again, like kind of being proactive and saying, okay, well, this is my reality now. How do I be, you know, okay with it or like change it to what I want? And I like that they started off small and like they say, doing short poems at first. And then the words began to flow. And that's the way the journey goes, you know. You go with the little steps at first and then your mind starts to find the inspiration again and its vitality. And then it starts to all come back. And that actually made me think of the isolation of COVID for a lot of people too, because I was talking to a few people about this, where, you know, they say, oh, I'm going to be bored out of my mind in that. And they would get like, someone was saying they got like a crocheting kit and they made like one crochet. And like, I know myself, I was going to like, oh, well, I'll do all this art stuff in that because, you know, I have all this time. But I think a lot of people didn't engage in that. They just got so hung up with the anxiety of COVID and the worry of it that it sucked away all the energy, the mental energy that they had. So they had all this time, but they just, ironically, they didn't use it and they didn't have the energy to get themselves out of boredom because of the situation that was making them bored and isolated in the first place. So what a kick in the teeth that was, right?
yes, absolutely, definitely. Great comment. All right, we're cranking along here. Where do you want to go now?
Okay, so now we're going to do some of the poems from my contest of mirrored poetry. And that's where it had to go in both directions. So it would be like a reverso. And I'm going to start with one that won silver, and I think it was probably the best example of how it works. Because Ben got gold, but his is quite complicated. So Jessica did an amazing job at showing, like, straightforward how it's done. So this is called I Am Fine by Jessica C. Wheeler. I am fine. Dismiss the rumors that proclaim I am falling apart. Please know, unfounded are these assertions. I shout my echo joy to demonstrate that I am well. I am not pleading for help. Hear me now, regard it as untrue. This glowing smile I wear, the reality, it is not but a mere facade. I tell you, I am fine. But if you read it upside down, I am fine, I tell you, but a mere facade. It is not the reality. This glowing smile I wear, regard it as untrue. Hear me now pleading for help. I am not well. To demonstrate that I am, I shout my echo joy. Unfounded are these assertions. Please know I am falling apart. Dismiss the rumors that proclaim I am fine. End poem.
Yeah, it really is. I'm sorry. Did you go ahead?
No, go. It's good.
Oh, I was going to say it really is. I wrote for this thing too in this year contest, and it was a lot of fun. I was excited for the challenge. But I certainly didn't do it as well as this because she does say two different things both ways, which is amazing. Maybe I don't think I could do that. I did say different things, but they were kind of I did it as I was saying the same thing, but you could read it backwards and forwards. Whereas she's it is basically two different poems, but the same thing. You know, talking about two different things, which is really really amazing. The way that she wrote that. So, you know, and it is, it is interesting how we can, I think Robbie talked about this earlier, how we all talk about, you know, we can hide things a lot behind smiles, right? We can hide things how we really feel. So one way she's talking about, you know, I'm fine, like stop listening to things, don't worry about it. And the other way she's saying, I'm telling you I'm fine, but it's gone. The glowing smile I wear, regarded as untrue. Looking at this now, wow, she really did an amazing job with this back and forth. It's pretty impressive. But Yeah, everything's great on this. Excellent job, Jessica. Robbie, what do you think?
Well, I was just writing in comments for her that if there's any, if there's ever a sentiment for a poem that was a reversal, this would be it. Because how many times, you know, in life do you see people do that where, like, where they're just saying, yes, yes, I'm fine, you know, and inside they're, like, dying. And we're, I think it's common enough that, I'd say, I don't know if everybody, but, like, you know, at least 60% of people out there have done something like that to, like, at least a degree, maybe not, like, a, you know, like, a huge degree, like, where you, someone's saying, oh, no, you need, you know, you need psychiatric help or something, like, you need to find a therapist. But, yeah, it's such a perfect sentiment to express in this sort of format. And it's especially anguishing to me when you think about that. Like, to think about when somebody is at that point where they're crying for help. They're saying that they're fine, but they're crying for help silently at the same time. I can think of hardly any other situation that causes so much, you know, internal conflict and that causes so much anguish. And I know somebody who loves to find different poetic forms in that. So I'm definitely going to share this poetic form with them, tell them about that. And I'm interested to see where they go with it and you know, how they'll, you know, how the, I'm sure that they'll post it too and all that. And yeah, I'm glad that I found out about this poetic form today. I'm going to have to try something like that myself someday.
Yeah,
it's a
fun.
Tricky one. It really is. Yeah, a lot of people did a great job at making a poem work in both directions, but most of the time it just said the same thing either way. And I was really impressed with how Jessica made it work both ways, especially because this was originally for part sinner, part saint, and that's always kind of a duality is my goal, where you can be, you know, the good and the bad. And I feel like she captured the essence of the contest with that. And Dan, because you were in that contest, you get to read the next one.
Excellent, excellent. Give me a second hand brush. Oh, it's fine. Okay. Yes, and I did not do as good a job because I did basically say the same thing. So it's called... Oh, I did. So I actually did it in the. I wanted to have the title as well too. So the title is "Balance to All Birth Strengths as Strength Births Balance Births All to Balance." So, you know, I wanted to mirror the title as well too. So I just did a title that you could bet just forward and backwards. I fluctuate the rhythm, the heartbeat of life, pulsation, as much as I try to balance. I stand on a hyper-rotting dead tree half-falling on a cliff edge in this earthquake life, back and forth as I move backwards and forwards, while beginnings become a plague as the endings hunt what's to come. What's to come as the endings hunt, while beginnings become a plague, backwards and forwards as I move back and forth in this earthquake life. I stand on a hyper-rotting dead tree half-falling off a cliff edge as much as I try to balance. Pulsation of life, the heartbeat, the rhythm, I fluctuate. End poem.
See, I think you did really well. I like that you had that really big long line in the middle of the two sections. I felt like it was a really good kind of pillar that turned you around, that you reached that point, and it's kind of like, I don't know, it helps with the flipping aspect of it to have that in between your stanzas. Also, it's such an odd but wonderful line. I stand on a hyper-rotting dead tree half falling on a cliff edge. Now, see, this gives me the feeling of falling, that vertigo feeling in my spine, partly because my husband is a little bit fearless and we go hiking, and he will just happily climb on a tree hanging off a cliff edge, and he'll be like, this is like the oldest, he actually, in the city that we are, there's this place where we go hiking, and he brags that it's the oldest tree in town, and he climbs out onto it, hanging over the water, like really high up, on this tree going, it's the oldest tree in this city, and I'm like, and you're on it, and it's crumbled down, and he's like, no, it's old because it's strong, and I'm like, oh my god. But so when I read that line, I panic a little bit because I'm like, please don't do that again. But I metaphorically, it's a fantastic line. It just gives me anxiety. And then this earthquake life is really great. The fluctuate, the back and forth, the kinds of language that you use really works well for the idea of a poem that goes back and forth, because it goes back and forth in terms of directions. So your language fits the style, and I thought that was creative.
Thank you. Yeah, that was definitely intentional, to fluctuate the rhythm, the heartbeat, and then the back and forth, because you're kind of going back and forth and you're fluctuating. It's like a heartbeat, you know, back and forth, right? So the language is definitely trying to do that as well. The hardest part I actually had, because I don't usually rewrite things a lot, was it took me forever to do the title, because I kept having to rewrite. That doesn't work. Wait a second, that doesn't work, because I wanted the title to, you know, be the same, be forward and backwards. And I tried to have one that was actually a title, like introducing it. But thank you very much, Faizy. I appreciate that. And Robbie.
Well, this made me think of the cycles of nature and of life, and in regards to humans as well as to nature itself. You talk about the hyper-rotting dead tree. That's the nature part. But then it says, while beginnings become a plague, and I was just thinking of all the plagues that we've had, you know, in human history that have affected human beings. And it always, like, gets me when people say, this is a bit of those me going off on a tangent again, but people say, well, you know, it's part of the cycle of nature. And, you know, if we didn't have the plague that thinned out human population, we, you know, we'd be overrun and all that. And it's like, well, maybe that's essentially true. But it's not something you contemplate, or especially not something you say when it's happening, right? So that was the tangential thought that I got from it. Overall, it made me think of just how it's like when the forest, you know, it becomes old and it's rotting away, and it's become like a old dead forest, and the fire comes and burns away all the old, and then all the new comes again, because it's burnt away that which has been like blocking new growth. And so like kind of like where it says balance to all births, strength, like just say, yeah, with that term strength, like strength comes from when you find that perfect balance between, like, decay and renewal, I would say.
Yeah, thank you. I was going for all of that. Excellent comment. I really, really appreciate it. All righty, we have 11:53. We get time for at least one more, I would say.
Yes, and it is a long one, but you know how I feel about Ben's poetry, so I'm gonna steal it myself. Not that I don't love everyone's poetry. I love, like, the poems on this show in general, but Ben has a very special place in my heart.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So this is part of that contest. What he did, because he has such long poems, is each section is its own palindrome. So this is Valkyrie Blue by Ben Hart. 1. Who the fuck is Jay, and why couldn't he just wait? Palindrome. Lost in thought. Just a bug walking across the pond, right into the crosshair tongue of a drunken yellow frog, a round belly full of fireflies, Morse code warning lights, to still jaywalk because they're running late, to be prey in a more successful place. His last thoughts are never going to change. Maybe he's just enamored. Maybe he's nothing of a man, a darkness misunderstood, a hammer, a marching band, just out of reach of a helping hand, he got struck by the bandwagon, never getting up again, with a slate untainted, or just another name, on a time machine into dust somewhere. Or maybe he's losing the game. Maybe he's been bleeding, spending time with them, his family of strangers on a screen, still starving over numbers, deadly afraid of being seen. Had he just waited to refresh his messages, he would have seen it coming. Oh, well, what a dream it's been. His first kiss was with death, and so will be his next. The East Berliner who'd slept in. So now I'm going to read that backwards. The East Berliner who'd slept in. His first kiss was with death, and so will be his next. Oh, well, what a dream it's been. He would have seen it coming had he just waited to refresh his messages. Deadly afraid of being seen, still starving over numbers, his family of strangers on a screen, spending time with them. Maybe he's been bleeding, or maybe he's losing the game. On a time machine into dust somewhere, or just another name with a slate untainted, never getting up again. He got struck by the bandwagon, just out of reach of a helping hand. A marching band, a hammer, a darkness misunderstood. Nothing of a man. Maybe he's just enamored. Maybe he's never going to change. His last thoughts are a more successful place to be prey, because they're running late to still jaywalk. Morse code warning lights, a round belly full of fireflies, of a drunken yellow frog, right into the crosshair tongue. Just a bug walking across the pond, lost in thought. Section 2, War, a Reverso Trilogy. The dawn reveals the truth to 13 Saturn Ruckin figure holding blue barrage balloons with London in flames, parting with their virginity on a misunderstanding was rarely a priority to the tearful poppies. Boyhood dreams of a burning Flanders, celebrating the armistice, made on a Clementine sunrise, a peace between soldiers, on an 11th hour, passing into silence. So now I'm going to reverse that section. Passing into silence, on an 11th hour, a peace between soldiers, made on a Clementine sunrise, celebrating the armistice of a burning Flanders. Boyhood dreams to the tearful poppies, was rarely a priority on a misunderstanding parting with their virginity. With London in flames, holding the blue barrage balloons, to 13 Saturnine Ruckenferg, the dawn reveals the truth. Where am I now?
Part 3, I think. Phasey,
I
don't want to interrupt, but we do have only 2 minutes left. So I don't know if you want to read one more part, and then maybe we can carry it over.
I think we're going to have to. All right, last part. Shapeless. Hey, Ben, I don't even know how long it's been. It was just, you know what? I don't even have time for that section. I've been Blog Talk's booting me in a second. So, I lost track of time, as I do. So we will have to carry this over, and that's okay. We'll have a spot for it next time. Thank you to everyone who wrote in for my contests. It's so wonderful to have your writing and to be back again. Thank you, Robbie, for calling in. It was great to have your comments.
You bet.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan.
Yes, thanks everybody. It was a great show. So great to be back.
All right, we will see you all again in 2 weeks, or you can call my show tomorrow because I'm in the after midnight for Part Sinner, Part Saint. Good night,
yes,
everyone.
Good night, everyone.